I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Contrary to common assumptions about childbearing and welfare, many black migrants compensated for the disadvantages they faced by cutting back in every way that they could, most notably by having fewer children than the Eastern and Southern Europeans arriving at the same time. Ida Mae, for example, bore no children after the one she carried in her belly from Mississippi at the age of 25, despite the many fertile years she spent in the North. She and her husband could not afford another mouth to feed. It turned out that, during the first three decades of the Great Migration, fertility rates for black women migrants from the South were actually among the lowest of all newer arrivals to the North, according to Lieberson's compilation of census data. In 1940, for the 15 to 34 age group, Ida Mae's at the time, there were 916 children per 1,000 black women, as against 951 for Australians, 1,030 for Russians, 1,031 for Poles, 1,176 for Hungarians, 1,388 for Italians. Czech women were virtually tied with black women, 923 children per 1,000 children. The disparities only widened with age. Among those in the 45 to 54 age group, Central and Eastern European immigrant women had born in some cases twice as many children per thousand as black migrant women in the North in 1940. And then they go to the numbers again. So yeah, one of the things about this that's interesting is, well, first of all, hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
And we're live on a Tuesday.
I think it's Tuesday.
I feel like it's Tuesday because Ray's supposed to be on tomorrow, and that's a Wednesday.
I done lost track of the week.
It's been it's been a hectic ass week.
It, for real, though.
Okay, but yeah. So Tuesday is today, and that excerpt is from The Warmth of Other Suns, which I've been talking about on the show for a while now. The thing I wanted to say was that it's interesting because it combats all the negative narratives about black people from the South and kind of about immigrants in general, but at this point in time it was black people moving basically from the South to the North, immigrating within their own country essentially. You know the negative stereotypes. They're lazy, they don't have jobs, they don't want to work, they just subsist off the government, they just sit around having children all day out of wedlock, all this stuff. And in the statistics show it was the direct opposite.
Yeah, don't nobody give a fuck about statistics. The second we was quote unquote free, we were lazy.
Well, yeah, and it's interesting because we was lazy when we were slaves too, according to the white people that had to beat us.
Come on.
You want to know what's interesting about this though is that how many black people have lived with this type of anti-blackness self-hate, hatred from the outside that makes us, you know, believe this. How much of respectability is about the fact that we think black people are these things, or we don't want to appear to be these things? And it creates a vacuum where we're not even able to love ourselves because we're always constantly fighting against this. We can't imagine a world where it doesn't matter what white people think about us, you know?
Right. And then people that truly live like that are constantly criticized for not caring.
Yeah. And then think about, and I'm not saying you shouldn't care, because it's like me telling you people are shooting guns outside and to not care about it. You know, these are life killing things that are happening. And think about the laws that are passed. Think about the way black neighborhoods are policed as opposed to white neighborhoods. Think about property value, how it decreases when black people move in, how government resources dry up when it comes to we aren't sending anyone to clean that. We don't, you know,
we're not paving the roads all of a sudden.
Right. Now when you pave the roads, clean, pick up the trash and all that stuff in a white neighborhood and it stays pristine, we attribute that to whiteness. Like, that's what that is good. Whiteness does that. Of course, white people are clean. When you cease to do these things in black neighborhoods, we attribute that to blackness as a pathology. Like, black people don't clean their shit. Like, if black people would stop littering, you know, that type of thing. So I remember Don Lemon during his coon days had this seven things that Bill O'Reilly was right about and nine, seven things more. And one of his things was about black people not picking up the trash in their neighborhoods and shit, you know, just complete coonery. And it was like, okay, so we just gonna ignore the systemic parts of this, you know? And I understand the idea of hey, I just care so much about us, fuck the systemic issues, we need to just do, we know they ain't coming to help, so we got to help each other. I do understand that mentality, but you know, thinking about how far back this pathology goes against black people, it, you know, you're talking about the 40s, the 50s, the 17s, the roaring 20s and all that shit, and you got, you know, little, and keep in mind, this data had to be collected. This data, like, so you have these stereotypes for years, and we're going, I don't see that around me. Black people are hardworking. Black people are some of the most family values, traditional people because of religion and stuff like that.
Yeah, a lot of times too, with black people, and y'all know them, and y'all are some of them, you would literally go without before you fucking sign up for any goddamn government assistance.
Yeah.
Like, you would be like, fuck it, we just ain't gonna have no lights, so fuck it, we just gonna have to be behind, even though there's services out there that, like, we can assist you, fuck it, we guess what, the meal today gonna be a nap, nigga, you know, here's some water, we'll try to figure it out next week, next month, you know, mama the water out, well, baby, I don't know, here's some water bottles, keep it pushing, the lights out, you better light them candles up, you know, the car broke, you will fucking go without, like, and that's the thing that fucking frustrates me, because I was like, do you know how many niggas work 2 and 3, sometimes 4 jobs, just so they don't have to get fucking assistance?
Yeah, I saw, I saw an article today that said there was this black woman who, she's a mother of 11 kids, and she didn't have a job. And, you know, people were shaming her and like, 11 kids are so irresponsible, you ain't got no job, you know, that type of shit. And the thing I kept thinking was, like, if this was Octomom,
they have fucking shows about how many goddamn kids they have.
Right. Like, we wouldn't even waste time with the, or I shouldn't say we wouldn't waste time. That's not true. Let's be fair. We wouldn't waste as much time blaming this woman for the situation that she's in. We'd be like, this is a person that needs help, what about those children? And that's not just white people that say that shit, that's us too, you know, like, there's a level of empathy we're not capable of having for each other sometimes, or even a level of just leaving people to fuck alone to their own devices, you know, we're not able to do sometimes. And it made me think about that, because, you know, children are a dream of a lot of people.
Yes.
To have to give that up, you know what I'm saying, to come to the North and say white supremacy and judgment and the lack of resources up here, coming out of slavery, coming out of sharecropping, coming out of the Jim Crow South, I'm in the North now, the land of bountiful freedom, but not really for me. My ice is a little bit thinner to skate on. So I'm not gonna have that child. I'm not gonna get that house. I'm not gonna, like, I have to make sure everything I do is 100% on board, because this, the cold North City could still spit you up and chew you and throw you out just like that. So, you know, it's just interesting, because we think of the North as like the promised land, or this bastion of freedom, this place where black people go to get equality. And essentially, you know, there was no equality there either. You had to give up shit just to make a living.
Right. And it's amazing, even till today, how people have this thought process about the North and the South and about, you know, out West and shit like that. When, truth be told, racism is all over across this fucking country. Fucked up laws have been passed all across this fucking country. They really have. And the thing is, the other places, quote unquote, they weren't really, we don't want no slaves. It was like, we just don't have slaves here. Mm-hmm. If they had slaves there, it wouldn't have been a motherfucking problem. You know, it's one of those things where people act like, you know, them white people up North went down South, a lot of them migrated up there, them same country bumpkins that was down here with the slaves, a lot of them moved up there too, you know. So it's just one of those things where you're othered,
right?
And you know, if you're othered, you're not white, and this is the way this country has always been structured. And so, you know, to me, particularly being down South, it's very frustrating when you talk to people in their ignorance and their stupidity when it comes to other parts of the country. In some places they've never been in their life, they just make these stupid ass assumptions.
One of the stories in The Warmth of Other Suns is about a doctor who went out to California so he could practice, and he goes to California, and I think it's in like Arizona, he stops, and according to Arizona, hey, no Jim Crow, no segregation. So he tries to go to a hotel, and they say, full. And it's obvious what's happening. It's like, oh, this is not vacant for me. It's no vacancies for black. Go to another hotel, same thing. He was so embarrassed at that point, he's like, I'm not gonna stop until I get to California, but how do you gotta sleep? And this is back in the day before you had highways. So this is all back roads, local roads. You gotta use a map to get from place to point A, point B. So, and it was dangerous even to the idea, like, you can't sleep in a parking lot at a hotel or pull over somewhere because you're still black in the middle of fucking nowhere. Anyone could pull up on you. Police could pull up on you. Now you're loitering, now you're in jail. Like, it was a harrowing experience to think about, that shit. But here was this place that was not the South.
Right.
He got to California and he was so scared. Like, walked up to a black man. You see this scene play out in like Harriet, the movie. He walked up to a black person like, okay, now where can I sleep? And he said, well, any of these hotels. If you have money, just go to the hotel. And he said, are there black hotels and like a black place to stay? And the man was like, you're in California now, you're in like LA, you can go to any of the hotels, they will let you in. He still was so shaken by what happened to him. He requested to go to a black bed and breakfast, and that's where he took him, and that's where he stayed and got freshened up and all that stuff. And I think after that, maybe he then went to a hotel to check in. But and then when he went to Vegas used to be whites only. Vegas, the whole like Vegas, not you know what I mean, not like this one casino was whites only, the whole fucking thing,
the whole strip,
to take people's money because it's a big fleecing. They didn't want black dollars. The presence of black people was too much for Vegas, the sin city, but not black people, and he had to get a hookup just to get in Vegas. But anyway, all that stuff to say, like, the idea from racist white people mostly, but also from some black people who already resided in the North, there was a lot of judgment coming towards those coming from the South. There was this assumption that the worst of the South came to the North. And every fact, every statistic, every number shows the exact opposite. The people who came North were the people that were the most sure they can make it.
Right.
Nobody was coming up there
on
a whim.
They didn't think they could survive.
It was like, I'm trained, I'm skilled. Many people are, they're family
people. Highly educated.
They're married. Many people, the man would have to come up first and then send for the wife. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. So, it's amazing thinking about, the things that were assumed. And we had to get data to prove some of these things. And not all this stuff is just the racist stuff that white people think. Some of this shit is stuff we think, and I'm glad that there's data now to prove it. And it's going to continue to be this way, till we die.
Right. And most every place in America, even some of your major quote-unquote black hubs, wouldn't always these black chocolate metropolitan areas.
Of course not.
It some of them evolved and changed from white flight a mm-hmm. lot of times, and all of a sudden a bit of more brown people, the white people leave, they go out to the suburb, and all of a sudden you got Atlanta. All of a sudden you have these places that now, you let history tell it, it's always been black. No sir. White people have always been there first, and they left.
Yeah, DC's like that. That's The Warmth of Other Suns, our excerpt for today, guys. Hopefully you enjoyed that.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere, friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow.
I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book. A reading rainbow. A reading rainbow.
Speaking of which, man, we might, and I mean, it's still in the early planning stages. We'll see how it works out, but we might be doing something with all this Black History reading, in February in Charlotte. So
we'll let y'all know.
There might be, a chance for people to come through and, hang out with us and talk about Black history and books and stuff. So
we'll keep y'all informed.
We'll guys let you know. All right, let's get into the show. What did I want to start off with?
I wanna ask you, there's something that I wanna know. And to this question, you have the answer. So tell me what I wanna know. Do you wanna funk? Do you wanna funk? Won't you tell me now? Won't you tell me now? If you wanna funk, let me show you how. Do you wanna funk with me? Do you wanna funk with me?
All right, let's get into LGBTQ news, y'all. It's a lot of stuff going on. Not much of it good, but we talks about it anyway here.
Yes, we do.
J.K. Rowling, who you guys may know from such books as Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. And Harry Potter and the other stuff and the other books. Harry Potter and the Encyclopedia Brown or whatever. I don't know.
All them Potters.
And
there's like 7 books in that series.
Yeah, and Fantabulous Magical Creatures and where they be hanging at.
And where to find them. And where they be flying.
Well, she's always had like a kind of one foot in, one foot out with the fan base and with Twitter. I always, you know, and it's hard to tell, to be frank, because some of these artists, it's like their fan bases kind of hate the people that created the thing they love. You know,
that's,
I see
weird.
It with Star Wars and George Lucas and now Star Wars and Disney. And you know, sometimes it's like I can never tell because I'm not in the fan base. But I've always heard rumblings of like she ain't really, you know, the wokest, or she'll do shit like she won't write specific stuff, dialogue and scenes for characters, but then she'll announce on like Twitter or in an interview 8 years later like, oh, did you guys know Hermione is actually gay or something,
right?
Like
people,
and people
like,
are like, what,
right, what, devil in the book, what the fuck
yeah,
are you talking about?
Dumbledore is gay. Why didn't you have any fucking thing in the book that refers to that,
right?
And then you know, so it's like this retconning type thing. And it could have been, you know, to be frank, I know a lot of people were mad about it, but I was like, you know, in a way it could be like almost revolutionary, because you're saying you just fucking read a book about a gay person and it didn't come up, because it would never come up in a book anyway, and like you didn't explode, you know, the world didn't fucking end. Yes, your hero is gay. You know, I could see like a way to spin it that way, but it didn't feel like that's what she was doing. It felt like she was trying to get like these cookies on the back end, like, oh, and by the way, so and so was black, and you're like, then why weren't they black in the movie, and why didn't you just make her black and just say that, you know? So anyway, that was a big thing that I saw people mad about, but you know, not my fan base, not my table. I'm like, I'm not really gonna get involved in the anger, because I don't even really fuck with Harry Potter like that. Well, apparently, she finally went all in and got herself in trouble because she sides with an anti-trans activist on Twitter. Yes, the on Twitter, the former billionaire wrote, former billionaire, what happened to her money? Anyway, she wrote that people can dress however they please, call yourself whatever you like, sleep with any consulting adult who'll have you. She then wrote, but force women out of their jobs for stating that sex is real, with the, and then she put the hashtag I stand with Maya, referring to British TERF, T-E-R-F, which I believe is trans exclusionary radical feminist. And Maya Forstatter is her name. Now, TERFs are, I think we may have briefly talked about them before on here.
Okay.
But a TERF is essentially somebody who says, I'm a feminist, but trans people are not, like, you can't, there's no such thing as trans.
Oh, so you kick them out the group?
You're either a man or a woman, and they hate both, trans men and trans women. They say trans women are just men, period, and they're fetishizing whatever. Okay, they say trans women are just trans men are just women who want access to male privilege, and so that's why they're pretending, quote unquote, to be men. They just don't even address non-binary people.
Wow.
Right, and it's a pretty widely held belief. Like, it's not a small thing. A lot of people think that this is protecting women. Sadly and scarily, it is right along the same lines of the scare tactics from Republicans who say, this is just a man in a dress. You're going to come in there and fuck your children in the bathroom because we got to respect everybody. And they always had like a picture or a meme of some big ass dude with like
bullshit they pull here to get that bathroom shit.
Right. Exactly. And so it kind of does capitalize on that fear. Now, I'm sure it's more complicated than that because, you know, obviously, there's this idea that men, people with penises can be dangerous. They can be dangerous to women in their spaces.
Yes,
things of this nature. So I don't want to, like, I'm not trying to be completely dismissive of that notion.
Mm-mm.
But I also feel like policy-wise and in execution, if your shit just looks like you're being transphobic, you're being transphobic. Come you know on. What I mean? It's like a... yes, you can be fearful of the idea that, you know, as me as a black man, like, oh my god, I hope this black guy doesn't rob me or something like that. Well, that's a stereotype. Now, you shouldn't hope anyone robs you, but that's a stereotype you put on me and now I have to fucking deal with in my life. But there's my neighbor who won't get out the car, and then there's the person that won't hire me at a job. You know, to me, those are both kind of like obvious it's like hindrances to my life, but at the same time, one is more like, oh, I'm doing this to protect myself, and the other one is just kind of like fuck big black dudes, right? So I can understand the conflict and trying to navigate all this stuff. Point being, people have already thought JK Rowling was kind of on some bullshit. This was like her, like another, like years ago she had like transphobic tweets, and then her publicist came out and said, oh no, she's just a case of old and hitting the wrong buttons.
She don't like money, do she? Because not too long ago, I mean, she gonna fuck around, she's about to get some money out of me, because I did not know in university they have like a whole fucking Harry Potter world, like a whole big ass area, and I was like, ooh, that would be somewhere nice for me and your mom and Layla to go down to do that, because I know she's read the books and I read the books and shit like that. But I'm like, you kind of fucking that up for me.
Yeah. Now, the woman that Maya Forstatter, that she the woman she's defending, Forstatter is attacked. Now, she is a literal transphobe. Like, she has been, well, I'll get into it. Forstatter is a tax expert at the Center of Global Development. Her employer decided not to renew her contract after they found offensive and exclusionary language about transgender people in her tweets, including saying that men cannot change into women and that discrimination against transgender women hurts men's feelings. She filed a complaint against her employer saying that her transphobia is protected under the UK's Equality Act. A judge yesterday ruled that being transphobic is not a protected class and that her anti-transgender viewpoint creates an intimidating, hostile, degrading, and humiliating or offensive environment, and that is not worthy of respect in a democratic society. So her employer had the right to let her go.
Right.
Now the difference is, in the UK, they actually have laws against this. Like racism, transphobia, homophobia, these things are like legal, like, precedents.
In the United States, yeah. You know,
right, it's freedom of speech! No, these motherfuckers.
It's only freedom of speech one way.
Right, and only when the government, like, it's not even really freedom of speech. Like, is the government trying to lock you up, put you in prison for saying that? No.
Okay. Well, then your freedom of speech has not been trampled.
And we truly don't have freedom of speech. Say fire in a crowded theater, see what happens.
And lock your ass up.
TERFs in the UK have been arguing that they are real victims of a system. It's the religious right here. It's I'm the real victim. I said I didn't want to serve gay people in my business, and now all of a sudden the government wants to come in and tell me what I got to do. But that's my right.
Yes, because you're serving the fucking public. I do not understand people that have businesses that you serve the fucking public. If not, be private.
Like, if you want to have something where you don't allow people in because of your own bigoted views, it's called a home. Get a home, a private home, and you can do whatever the fuck you want with who comes and goes out of that place. There's nothing I can say to you about. But when you open up a business that's supposed to serve everybody, there's a bunch of fucking guidelines.
Everybody.
There's a bunch of guidelines that we have as a society. It's like, yo, you can't just be out here like, I don't like black people. You know, and I know there's black people that'll make that dumbass argument of, I like when they just tell me up front, well, cool. That's actually still illegal. And I guess I'm the one that's gotta like help your dumb ass out and be like, that's not okay that they did that to you. Just cause you don't want better for yourself don't mean all of us gotta accept your low ass bar.
Come on and suffer.
I'm not living like that. Fuck that shit. But yeah, like I said, this past January, Twitter users found out liking comments by TERFs who called transgender women men in dresses. And her publicist said she had a clumsy and middle-aged moment and holding her phone incorrectly accidentally liked the comments. Shout out to your publicist, the real MVP, who
was trying to clean that shit up,
who had to go out there and tell that stupid lie that nobody believed. And
like, she old and senile, y'all understand.
And of course it hurt a lot of her fans' feelings. Mm-hmm. But and the Maya Forstatter, the woman who, you know, originally was the, you know, the transphobic person who got the support, was extremely happy to have JK Rowling on her side. So that's sad, man. Can't have no motherfucking heroes out there. Like, and it's so weird, like you said, because like, you can just not say nothing and people gonna keep fucking with your old stuff
and taking your money.
She needed to let you know, and maybe that's how much money she does have, and she said, well, finally I don't give a fuck no more. I'm not writing no more of these books. I'm already mega fucking rich.
Right. They're constantly making movies off your shit. You know, you have a whole fucking area at Universal Studios. Actually, two parts of the two pieces that you have to pay separately to go into each piece. You can't just pay a flat fee. It's like its own little world, like the Lego world. Here's Harry Potter shit. So I know you got paid for them to have the rights to that. They paid you for that. Your books, and then not only your books, the audio books, and then I got later one version where they'll take the books that she already did and I have an artist draw the drawing. So that's another. So it's about 45 fucking versions of this goddamn Harry Potter book going out here, and on top of that, and movies. You're making all the fucking money.
Yep. So I don't know, man, why she would choose to do that. I mean, well, I know why. She really does believe that.
Yes.
I mean, that's the only thing I got for you. You know, it's just, you know, and for the people that, you know, do canceling and stuff, they'll have to do, you know, do it for her. Let's talk about the opposite end of the spectrum. Dwayne Wade speaks on raising his son. He's actually raising his 12-year-old. I guess they updated this article. Speaks on raising his 12-year-old, uses she pronouns, nothing changes with my love. So he did an interview on the Showtime Sports podcast, All the Smoke, with Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson. It's a great podcast.
It really is.
And he opened up about the LGBTQ community, stating they're normal, they're not even different, everybody get used to it. He said, I had to look myself in the mirror when my son at the time was 3 years old, and me and my wife started having conversations about us noticing that he wasn't on the boy vibe that Zaire, Wade's other son, was on. And I had to look myself in the mirror and say, what if your son comes home and he tells you, he's gay. What are you gonna do? How are you gonna be? How are you gonna act? It ain't about him. He knows who he is. It's about you. Who are you? I grew up with the same perspective as a lot of these people out here that's a little ignorant. I grew up with a similar perspective, he says, and you meet people along the way that help you take those glasses off and put on some different ones. Look through life a different lens, with a different lens. That's what my wife has been able to do, so it's been cool. And then he also said his parenting responsibilities haven't changed. Yeah, they born a certain way and you say they gonna be that way. That's not life, man. I've watched my son from day one become into who she now eventually has come into. You know what I'm saying? And for me, it's all about nothing changes with my love. Nothing changes with my responsibilities. Only thing I gotta do now is get smarter and educate myself more. You would think that would be the fucking standard. But I applaud Dwayne Wade specifically because it's not the fucking standard.
Mm-mm.
You know, and I'm not gonna be dismissive like, well, dude, everyone should be like that. Everyone should, but like,
they ain't.
That ain't the reality.
Mm-mm.
And I actually recognize, and maybe it's because I am straight, black, male, I recognize the hurdle that you have to overcome, not just mentally, but socially. You know, like, he ain't, like, there's gonna be a lot of people that, because they respect Dwayne Wade, they won't challenge what he's saying.
Right.
And not in his face, for sure.
Agreed.
But they don't share this belief system. And he's a part of that, you know, culture. He's the most, you know, one of the masculine culture, right? The mm-hmm. basketball, sports yeah, athlete.
Manly man.
Rich.
Yes.
Married to Gabrielle Union. Like, this is a dude that people think of as, like, you know, one of the heights of what a man should be. And to have somebody like this be like, yeah, fuck that bullshit, loving your kid is what matters, is actually revolutionary in a world where, you know, there's people that wish they had that dad like Dwayne Wade that didn't say, get the fuck out of my house, or you disappointed me, or you're
dropping up on the side of the fucking road,
right? This is a sin and all this shit. Not to mention, if you guys are on social media, you've seen the discussions, you've seen the comment section, you've seen the Facebook posts and stuff. A lot of people actively want this man to disavow his son, publicly admonish his son. Like, they really want this man to like to just disavow this kid
publicly. Yes.
Publicly, like, they think it's a threat to them that he loves I keep saying son, but I'm not sure, because the interview, they don't necessarily define, they kind of go back and forth with pronouns, but people have publicly wanted Dwayne Wade to disavow his child,
right?
Period. To make them feel better at home about whatever the fuck decisions they have, whatever bigotry they have. They need this avatar of a celebrity to fucking come out and be like, your bigotry, I agree with. Yeah, I'm ashamed. You know, like, when he takes pictures, and the child is with them and not dressed as, traditionally masculine, people really leave little ignorant comments and shit under that. Blogs and websites and news places post the videos and go, thoughts on this? Y'all okay with this? Shit like that. Stuff that you don't do for like straight kids ever. You know, they like, you don't just post a, Beyonce post a picture with Blue Ivy. We don't go, y'all all right with this? You know, and we know people come for Blue Ivy, but even with that, it's like, well, nah, well, that's obviously, it's okay that she's hanging out with her mama and they all dressed up. But it's only in this situation that it's like, no, we need to have a discussion about how this man treats his child. He ain't being bigoted enough for us at home. Like, that's insane. But and also, I love that that conversation happened between three straight black men. Because you got Matt Barnes there and you got Steven Jackson there. Both icons of masculinity in their own ways, from
mm-hmm.
being physically violent. Well, you know, that's a whole nother different discussion, but that's why how a lot of people measure, like, these are real bona fide G's. Everyone vouches for these dudes, and they all just had that conversation, and it wasn't no ha-has and jokes and shit. You know, like, even when there's other shows where people try to be like progressive, normally when it's a black male show and you say something to the effect of what Dwayne Wade said, it's a bunch of snickering, a bunch of jokes, a bunch of, you know, because they're
ignorant.
Yeah, they get uncomfortable in their ignorance and they start doubting their own masculinity and how they're coming off looking. And so, as we talked about last week in one of the Reading Rainbow segments by Damon Young, you have to deride the gayness, the gay person, the queer person. You have to deride them because that's how you ensure your own masculinity is actually established. I can't establish it in a situation where I'm not downing somebody else. So I really appreciate that conversation. I really appreciate what the Wades are doing with their family. I love how he gives Gabby so much credit, because let's be frank, when a man is like that 99% of the time, it is because a woman has come in there and said, hey,
get your shit together,
this is important, and let me explain and educate you on these topics. You know, it's one of the reasons I don't really knock the idea that people need to be educated, and people just, you know, the attitude that folks get about shit, it's like, well, I don't know about you, there's a bunch of shit I didn't know until somebody told me.
Same.
Now I understand if you want to mock the fact that they don't want to do the work, cool,
that's a whole different story,
but the idea that people don't know everything, nigga, that's the way it fucking goes. So anyway, shout out to him, and Gabby and the whole family, man. That's such a dope example, and I hope more people can set that. Speaking of setting examples, YG the rapper, he apologizes to the LGBTQ community, says his old views in life were ignorant. He kicked off the new year with an apology. On Wednesday, the West Coast rapper took to Twitter to tell the LGBTQ community he was sorry for his past in ignorance. It's been brought to my attention that my old views on life was ignorant. I apologize to the LGBTQ community, with a K, he must be a Crip or a Blood or something, anyway, forever coming across like that. I was anything but respectful and accepting. Live your life, gang. It's unclear what exactly prompted the apology and which old views YG was referencing, and although we may never get the answer to those questions, many fans applauded the rapper for his message. Mm-hmm. Some suspect Kalani, who had something to do with the message, and she identifies as queer. YG and Kalani confirmed their relationship back in September. Oh yeah, that's for sure what it was. So they were he's dating Kalani, and Kalani is supposed to be like this woke counterpart of woke Twitter as a black woman, and I did see a whole lot of like ads to her and stuff of like, how can you date this man, he's been homophobic in the past, he's been misogynistic in the past, and all this stuff, which I never know when that shit is okay. I never know when that,
there's no rules to
Beyonce
it.
Dating Jay-Z done said all kinds of wild shit in his rap. It I don't know when it's okay and when it's not. Nah, I mean, shit, let's keep it 1,000. Most black straight women are dating or connected to some man who's got done or said some homophobic shit.
Yes,
almost fucking impossible. Lives, right. Yeah, where you gonna find that needle in the haystack? Like, let's be frank about that shit. Like, that's kind of that's the job almost. You're gonna have to deal with somebody that at minimum has had problematic past views.
Right, even if they grow and evolved and changed, it was there at some period of time.
At minimum. And if nobody's perfect, then you know they're going to continue to have some things that don't fit into your, you know, feminist agenda and shit. You're, like, that's, you know, that's kind of give and take. Now, hopefully you find somebody that's willing to listen, learn, educate, or has already done all that work and is like, I'm already hip on this shit. Doesn't mean they're going to be agreeable to every motherfucking thing you think, but still, you know, there's some merit there. So I can see how, you know, but I did see the harassment that she experienced online when that relationship was confirmed, and people were pissed with her. So him coming out and apologizing could have just been exactly that. Current status is unknown right now, as Kalani posted a since deleted tweet last month claiming she was single. So they may or may not even be together anymore. Maybe all that pressure online worked and made her be like, well, we can't be together because, I mean, these motherfuckers are mad on Twitter. Who knows?
Does the day end with a Y? They mad.
Yeah. Who knows, man? So, anyway, I did see a lot of people celebrating his apology, though. And saying, you know, we need more black men like this. And of course, because the bar is very, very low, you know, you take your wins where you get them.
Right.
You know, most motherfuckers in his position would be like, man, fuck them gay people. I ain't saying shit. I ain't never taking it back.
Even if they changed, they right. would never make a public statement.
Right. So, speaking of, changes in public statements, GLAAD.
Okay.
Will honor pop and country singer Taylor Swift with its prestigious Vanguard Award at the 31st annual GLAAD Media Awards.
Okay.
Swift joins the likes of Britney Spears, Demi Lovato, Whoopi Goldberg, Beyonce, Jay-Z, Jennifer Lopez, among others who have been recognized with the award for their support of the LGBTQ community and equal rights. The 30-year-old has long used her stardom to stand up for equal rights. During the 2019 LGBTQ Pride Month, Swift wrote a letter to Republican Senator Lamar Alexander requesting that he support the Equality Act, which would provide discrimination protections for LGBTQ Americans. She also created a Change.org petition urging others to support the Equality Act as well. The petition has garnered more than 570,000 signatures. The anti-hate themed music video for Swift's platinum single, You Need to Calm Down, features cameos from many proud members of the LGBTQ community, including Ellen DeGeneres, Laverne Cox, RuPaul, The Queer Eye Cast, and Billy Porter. GLAAD President and CEO Sarah K. Ellis confirmed the news of Swift being this year's honoree. From boldly standing up against anti-LGBTQ elected officials to shining attention on the urgent need to protect LGBTQ people from discrimination through the Equality Act, Taylor Swift proudly uses her unique ability to influence pop culture and promote LGBTQ acceptance. This award will take place April 16th, 2020 in Los Angeles.
Good for her.
Yeah, you know what? Real talk. If you just were applauding YG and you turn your nose up at Taylor Swift, take a look at yourself. Right? How many people just did that, right? How many people, oh, this bitch. YG put out the bare minimum of one tweet. Without any specific utterance of any past action. Taylor Swift's biggest crime was remaining, or at least allowing people to believe she remained neutral, until really last year on LGBTQ rights. You know, she wasn't a vocal supporter. She wasn't an advocate. And it's a shame, because a lot of her support comes from the LGBTQ community. Mm-hmm. And of course it made people feel like, well, why are you not trying to promote us? You're not trying to be an ally. You're not trying to like be vocal about your support of us. Why is that? Is it because you're afraid you're gonna lose these country music motherfuckers and shit? Like, what exactly is it? And so I do understand the pressure that people put on her, but when people don't know how to take a win.
Nope.
It worked. You won.
She out here still mad. I don't understand,
because I think people would rather just be mad. But like, you got the thing you wanted. You bent her ear. You said, hey man, this shit is not good enough. Step the fuck up. She steps the fuck up. She getting an award for it, and I, you know, like, good for her, as you said, you know, good for everybody. I mean, I can't think of anyone who's harmed by her being like vocally supportive in a way that she hadn't been before. And I keep going back to this point in the article that is small footnote, but she's 30. That's it. Like, people talk, maybe it's cause she's been around so long. Like, we watched her grow up, but people talk about that woman like she's fucking 50 or something.
Yeah, they do.
Like, she, like, that's still kind of young to mm-hmm. be learning and shit. So yeah, if people should look at how they feel if they try to raise the, and I think also people raise the bar for non-straight black men essentially when it comes to this shit. You know, if it was somebody else, it'd be like, that's how you supposed to be, you know. But I think that all this shit is positive. Now look, there's a bunch of inner working dynamics, and don't write in about it because I really don't want to get into it. But I do understand most people, there are people that go, GLAAD is just like white gayness, and I totally understand. Is not, you know, gonna be good enough for some folks and all that stuff. I don't know which white gay people and which white allies y'all would say deserves that pedestal as the person that supports enough black specific gay stuff. I don't know that, you know, I don't know enough about all the working of that, but I do think that that's her stepping forward boldly stepping forward in 2019 is something that I can see why people would feel like it needs to be rewarded. And the whole point is to give her the award because you want to encourage other people that may have been scared.
Right.
So a lot of people who are fucking scared, who have good hearts and everything, but they fucking scared. And she could be an example to those people, like, stop being scared. You know, stop assuming that because you're not out here calling people slurs, everyone knows you're not homophobic. And let's keep that 1,000%. How many people listen to this show and that's how you are? Like, I'm cool with gay people because I don't say anything quote unquote bad about them. Now, am I going on my Facebook page, on my Twitter, and advocating for people's rights? Am I doing that? Am I fucking in conversation with people confronting their homophobia? Am I like wearing pride stickers? Do I have the bumper sticker on my car? Like, am I inviting the confrontation? You know what I'm saying? Are you doing that? You know, I'm not saying you're not doing it, but are you doing that? Because that's what we're demand of these people that are celebrities and shit. That they be out here fucking, like, risk it all. You know? Like, I know I have the fucking, you know, y'all, equals all and equality NC bumper stickers and shit on my car. I know I got my shit, but, you know, if somebody, and maybe that's why my car is scratched up. I don't know.
That might be why your shit scratched up.
Another mystery to solve another time.
Right. That shit came out of nowhere. I was like, the fuck is this?
But the point being, like, you know, I think a lot of people try to, like, push something for celebrities that they don't necessarily do themselves.
Mm-mm. And don't demand on, right, quote unquote, normal people.
Right. Or because they can do something on a smaller scale, knowing that the backlash is a lot less. They're like, well, celebrities should do it too. And then we end up in the middle of this, not applauding the people that fucking do the thing. Because I think the stick works, but also the treat works. You gotta do both, in my opinion. Yeah. Hey, you're not doing good enough. And then when people step up, hey, good job.
Yeah, people don't, we're in the age where people don't want to do that. And all they do is just move the goalpost. And I'll just say, then you get people that like, the fuck I'm doing this work for if y'all not even gonna acknowledge it.
It's like if you have a physical trainer that the only thing they do is berate you. You gonna stop going.
I did, my nigga. I did. I went to one of them CrossFit workout shit mm-hmm. one good time. That woman was hollering and yelling at people. I was like, the fuck is this? No, don't be yelling at me.
Right. But if they say, like, hey, you gotta give more effort, you gotta do this, you gotta do that. And then when you do it, they go, good job. There's something to that method too. Same thing with teaching, all this shit. So I hope that, you know, I'm sure it'll be snarkfest on Twitter and shit, but I really do think that people may be dropping the ball with this opportunity to finally be like, all right, cool. Like, you ain't gotta like her, become a fan or no shit, but okay, cool. You did the thing. Yeah. Okay, keep it up.
And I think people do that because they want to permanently stay mad. And right. If you acknowledge that somebody's done something good, guess what? You take off your mad cloak. You have to lay it down for a split second, and no, Lord have mercy. Lord, don't put down your mad cape.
I also think hating people is just—it's easier to be consistent on than to say, I acknowledge that this person has moved on or grown up or whatever. And then also, you know, I don't have to grow up myself, and I don't have to move on if I can stay here. So
right, and also I think the reason why that's consistent is, and we talked about this before, because there's something inside you that's causing that burning that won't go out. Mm-hmm. That's all this is, is an internal flame within you that you can't put out. Because the thing is, people that acknowledge the goodness, you're not rewarded for that. But if you're always mad, the way social media is, you're fucking rewarded for that. True. People get dopamines from being rewarded, from constantly being angry, constantly being sad, constantly being depressed. People get, it's fixes on that thing. Like, it's some people I've seen online, this is what they professionally do, and if you see them, they have the same tune for the past 10 years. Nothing about them has changed.
Alright, let's get to some other news, y'all. Smiling Harvey Weinstein arrives in New York City court with his walker ahead of trial.
Pulling that old Bill Cosby, I see.
Yeah. Oh, they get so...
I can't see. I need assistance.
They get so infirm when it's time to show up to court, ain't it?
Is that a step I need to move around? I mean,
what other... is this... is this appropriation of disabilities? Is that what's happening?
Come on now.
Like, is that what's happening? Is like they want some type of sympathy and shit? Like,
yes, sir.
All of a sudden, this, because I watched this documentary, I'm gonna take the name, but it's something like The Monster Next Door or something on Netflix, about a guy who worked in the Nazi death camps and came to America and lived here for however many years, and then someone discovered, hey, this guy's a fucking Nazi. And so they took him back to, they extradited him to Israel, where he had to stand trial, where he's accused of being, you know, Ivan the Terrible, one of these Nazis that was out here, you know, trying to killing Jewish people and stuff. I'll spare you all the details and shit. You can watch the documentary for yourself. I did find it to be really good. But, he gets essentially acquitted, because they can't truly prove that it's him. And so he goes back to America, but then, luckily for us, somebody later in life, I forget the senator's name, but she comes along and she's like, wait, there's a bunch of records of us sending one of our federal departments of immigration out to these new people coming in from Germany and overseas and stuff. And we will ask them, we will say, hey, this person's suspected to be a Nazi. They go, hey, are you a Nazi? Are you a former Nazi? And they say, yes. And then we go, okay, how do you feel? And they'd be like, I feel fine. And that was the whole interview. And they did this with several confirmed Nazis. And they would, yes. And then they'd walk out the door. And so she said, no, round these motherfuckers up. They going to jail. So she went and found them after all this time and rounded their ass up and put them in jail, right? So he had a trial again, but this time he was like 90. And the trial wasn't for if he was specifically Ivan the Terrible. It was, did you work at these camps? If yes, go to jail. And it turns out he does go to jail. But he shows up at the new trial, he wouldn't even walk into the courtroom. They had to wheel him in on a bed. He's like 90 or something. He's, you know, oh, I can't even see, I can't even answer the judge, nothing. Mm-hmm. Right. And then they wheel him out of the courtroom. They caught him on video getting in and out of his car with no assistance later. Right. That's what this reminds me of. It's all, long story short, that's what this shit reminds me of when I see Bill Cosby. I can't even see. I was just gonna go on a tour, you know. If there wasn't a lawsuit going on, if there wasn't a trial going on, Harvey Weinstein would be out here walking still around, producing movies, right, and being at Democratic fundraisers, taking pictures with all these famous people and shit.
Yes, sir.
He would still be just fucking fine. It's like, once the fucking magic trick is over and we go, nah, you're a monster and you need to face justice. Oh, my back. You know, doctor say I need a backiotomy.
Come on. My knees don't work all of a sudden.
You would lock a man that can't see up in jail for rape?
Oh, my gout.
Think about it, guys. I mean, how was I raping people if I can't even see right now?
I got bunions. How was I raping them women?
Good grief. So, yeah, I saw that pathetic shit. Try to act like he the old man from Up. Nigga, you can't fool me. Go to jail. Terrible. Always trying to get one over somebody. Oh, yeah, my back, you know, I can't. Your Honor, you got to let me go.
You're going to jail.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I just can't see no more.
You're going to jail.
I can't. How am I gonna rape people if I can't see them? I mean, you got to let me go. Let's see what else happened. Everybody was mad at Tyler Perry today.
What happened?
He posted a video on Twitter of his he's writing like 9 or 10 TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
And he posted a picture of all the finished scripts.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, so I don't know if you know this, but all shows on TV have a writer's room. He said Instagram and Twitter video shared showing a stack of scripts. And most of the time there are 10 to 12 people or whatever that write on these television shows. Well, I have no writer's room. Nobody writes any of my work. I write it all. Why am I telling you this? I wrote all of these scripts myself in 2019. Work ethic.
And I believe that.
I don't think the problem is that we don't believe him, Karen.
I knew that. Like dude, he's not telling people nothing that they don't know. All jokes aside, this is not a shock, nor is it a surprise. And truth be told, I don't care.
Yeah, I was surprised. Well, I shouldn't say surprised. It was one of those, like, these niggas on Twitter ain't gonna like this moments. But if I'm being real, and I am gonna be real, these niggas on Twitter ain't gonna watch Tyler Perry shows.
No.
It's chicken or egg at this point. Like, you're either not watching because they're bad, and you know, so why would you watch it? And he's not making it for you because you ain't watching it.
Right. Like, it's a whole group of ass niggas that are excited and gonna watch all them shits, and you ain't it, and it's okay.
Yeah, what I thought was funny about it was that people, like, he should hire some writers and stuff, and I always come back to this point. So you think Tyler Perry gonna hire your woke ass to write for him?
No,
he gonna hire some people that write like Tyler Perry. Like, he gonna go get some churched up people and they gonna write this shit. I don't know why you had this delusion that he about to just, like, put on all your faves and all the talented people. Like, he likes what he likes, and let's be frank, what he writes is what the fuck people watch.
Yes, it's the audience for it. I don't know why niggas get mad. People are watching the shit. He's not writing all those shows just because.
I'm not calling it high quality.
No.
I'm calling it high profitability. It's working. Like, you can't be, you can't, to me personally, I shouldn't say you can't, audience. I mean, I can't be mad at this man because I'm not consuming his work. I'm like, it ain't for me. I know people who love it.
And watch all the shows.
I love people who love it.
Yes, sir.
And I think in a weird way, this is emblematic of why, and I know it's gonna sound like a stretch, but I fucking mean it, this is the reason why Joe Biden is winning.
Right.
Because we done insulated ourselves in this talented 10th ass bubble of people that just, like, co-signing the same fucking liberal shit over and over, and positivity and weird respectability, anti-respectability that we do. We're not accepting of these people.
Right. We don't want like they don't fucking exist.
We don't want them to have a stake in blackness at all. And it's fucked up because Tyler Perry is just this one man who's a mogul and all this shit, but there's room and there are other black artists. If you don't like this, there is way too much black art to consume.
Now it is, yes.
I can't keep up with it.
And y'all can't either.
So the way that people act like him being having low quality art means that nobody else gets a chance, that time is over. That's not true anymore. Mm-mm. Everybody writing some shit right now. Well, he need to hire some. Listen, your part, if you ain't working, you ain't working, but a lot of people working now.
Yes,
a lot more people, you know. And if you write Issa Rae type stuff, Tyler Perry ain't hiring you.
Mm-mm.
You need to be pitching to Issa Rae. You know what I mean? Like, that's the way the game is. If you want, like, you're not gonna be judgmental and heavy-handedly against somebody like Tyler Perry and then have him hire you. What the fuck? You'd have to have some fucking reverence or respect for what he does to even fucking get in that room. You know, it's so interesting to see people do that. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not trying to, this is not a defense of what he does, because mm-hmm. I don't consume it. It's not really my thing. I get all the arguments against it. But the point being, part of the reason he can post this shit is because y'all ain't finna do shit. Mm-hmm. He insulated. He good. He don't need you. You ain't been helping. You ain't gonna help. Don't need your help.
That's the whole point.
If I showed this same fucking video to my mama, you know what my mama would say? That's a hard working man.
Yeah, goddamn right.
And that's the whole fucking disconnect in the whole goddamn Twitter sphere, is that we have one set of standards that we think everyone should live by, and we're not willing to accept that there's a bunch of people that's like, I don't really fuck with that shit. Like, I don't want your highfalutin ass Atlanta art. I don't want that.
Insecure, I don't give a fuck about that.
And it's so fucking weird because people play both sides of this fence. They get mad when Jordan Peele calls, like, this is some elevated black shit or whatever. We get mad at that, but let Tyler Perry put something out. We can't wait to be like, that's some common bullshit. That is some trash ass black art. Why is so popular? why he making money? Like,
he touring the fucking country. People go down. No, he touring up north too. That nigga touring. Them Tyler Perry plays are touring all across the country and going to big time theaters. People paying hundreds of dollars for these goddamn tickets. Somebody's attending.
It's weird too, cause people think he shouldn't be proud of that shit. And I'm like,
right.
But y'all do realize he makes a lot of money and people do watch it. I don't know. Like, of course he's proud of it. You don't have to be proud of it. That's not what pride is about. It's about him, how he feels. He feels like, god damn, I went to work town on this shit. You know who else once wrote a script for an entire season of a show? And like, I want to say it was one or two nights once. Donald Glover. I don't know if people remember this, but Donald Glover was supposed to have a Deadpool series coming to FX. FX was like, they put out a public press statement like, yeah, so we're gonna not put the series out because Donald hasn't written it yet. So Donald Glover literally wrote the whole fucking series, all 8 episodes, that night and put it out on Twitter. Now maybe he had been working on, I don't know, but he put it out on Twitter. People read it. They're like, this is the funniest shit ever. They need to make this. And he just did it to prove I'm fucking talented enough to do it. Now look, maybe it would have came out, it would have been horrible, and y'all would have been like, this is the new Tyler Perry, like this is terrible. I don't know, but the point being, like, like some people can do this shit. I don't know, you know. And if people do like his shit, what the fuck am I gonna say? That's the whole purpose of art. You know what I think about when we do this podcast? The people that's gonna fuck with it. That's the only people I care about,
right? And if you don't, you don't. Nah, don't care.
Somebody can listen to this. I don't like y'all be saying niggas. I don't like to just, you know, it's too liberal. I don't like this. Hey, dog, I made it for my folk. I don't like your accents.
I don't know what to tell you, my nigga.
Right.
This show ain't for you.
I want you talking to NPR voice. You know, like, yeah, that's, and I, like, that's the part about Tyler Perry that I do love. Because I'm telling you, I don't really fuck with his art like that. I watch Boo Madea. And I watched.
Yeah, them Boo Madeas is my jam. I'm not gonna lie. I like those.
I watched that one with Taraji P. Henson, Acrimony.
That shit was fucking hilarious. In the Why Did I Get Married 45? Yes.
I'm probably gonna watch that one with that nigga with that fucked up hair that's coming to Netflix. I don't know what the fuck he was thinking with that shit. Oh, God. That shit looks amazing. I'm going to watch it and laugh. And a lot of black critics are going to watch it and roast it, and that's fine. They're roastable movies.
Yes.
Just understand that click, that dollar is still about to help. It is what it is. You about to marvel at the next Black Panther that's going to be shot there. Like, it's just, I think people just need to accept, I don't know. The anger is just fucking, I don't know how you're not exhausted.
Oh, come on.
From being angry at this man for 20 years now. It's over. He won. Oh man, it was just so funny watching everybody go off. I was like, nigga, it's over for this. People bringing up old shit. Well, one time he didn't, yeah man, well it's 2020 now, he's fine. Okay, well, he doesn't want to pay writers. Does he not want to pay writers, or is he a control freak that doesn't want their fucking input?
Like, normal ass, this is normal ass people that have the same issue with, they don't want to hear shit from nobody.
Call it a flaw, call it what you will, I call it his right, because that motherfucker won.
He's right.
He already, what are we arguing about?
Right.
He already proved his point. This is the studio that Madea built, dog. He proved his point. There is no arguing with what he does at this point. It worked. You could be like, I don't like the method that it worked. Nigga, it worked and it's still working. You just gonna be mad forever? Okay, good. You're right. Moving on. Pastor John Gray skips church after eviction reports. Pastor John Gray was a no-show in his mega church on Sunday, just days after it was reported that their steps were being taken to evict the house of worship in South Carolina. But he was there in spirit when a video showed him from a remote location, like a hostage, delivering a defiant message of reassurance to his congregation in apparent uncertainty.
So we just showing up and you're not here, the ball's on the door. What's up with this?
This nigga holding up a newspaper with today's date on it. amid apparent uncertainty surrounding the future of Relentless Church. So this nigga pulled a Summer Walker and like Instagram lived into the arena. Like, how's that work? Without going too deep into details, Gray calmly explained on the video that his absence was pre-planned before there was a setup with a camera to serve papers to the church. It was unclear what setup Gray was referring to, but on Thursday, the Redemption Church, which owns the property that Relentless Church has been leasing, filed documents in court to seek eviction, the start of a process that could but hasn't yet lead to serving eviction papers to a tenant. Oh, do you sound like a hustler? You can't serve me if I ain't at the church. They gonna have to deliver a pizza or some shit to get him. Yeah, pizza. Just sign here. You been served. Get the fuck out the church. The Redemption Church has alleged a breach of lease centering on the sports and fitness center on the property used by Relentless Church, incurring a debt that Redemption said it was forced to take on to avoid going into foreclosure. So he built a fitness center on the church and went in, and it cost so much that the fucking church that actually owns the property, Redemption, had to take on the debt to stop the property from being foreclosed.
Why? Yeah, y'all got to go. Yeah, we want our money and y'all got to go.
This is really like, I put an Airbnb out and I come back and y'all asked to add a fucking deck to my house.
Oh, you got a whole ass pool in the backyard. Who right. Pulled this fucking pool?
Damn. What?
You added a whole wing extension to the house. The fuck is this?
Sunday marked the first time the pastor had publicly spoken about the controversy in public. If you hadn't been buying Lamborghinis, well, you could have finished financing the center. We have paid what we owe according to our agreement, and everything is going to be shared at the right time through the proper legal channels. Mm. Oh, don't you love when a man of the Lord turns a man of the motherfucking briefcase?
Yeah, the repo man going to get that car, baby.
God told me to wait until the trial to tell you guys what's going on, guys. I just legally... You know, I got to let God do what he do, but I got to let my lawyer do what he do, okay? He's vehemently defended his association with the president, Donald Trump. But until then, we, the Relentless Church, will continue to have service and we will maintain the moral high ground.
The fuck you will? I padlock that motherfucker up. You ain't getting in this bitch.
He thought he was Donald Trump, thinking you can go into debt on a business deal. And keep moving. That's for whites.
Come on.
That's whites only. He said they will provide receipts of payment. He went on to say, greatly grieved that there would be anyone or any spirit that would seek to harm a church open to in the name of Jesus. Chances are he was talking about Ron Carpenter, a pastor who owns the same Redemption Church that filed court papers in an apparent effort to begin eviction proceedings against Relentless. So what, I'm just supposed to go into debt because you decide, because God... the Greenville News reported last week Gray unsuccessfully tried to arrange new agreements, ultimately leaving Relentless Church on a month-to-month lease that expired as soon as it turned 2020 last week, and that in turn prompted Redemption Church to file the papers on Thursday. In the video he explained he wasn't there because he could take a necessary day with my bride to build my marriage so that it can be healthy and vibrant.
Y'all knew them people was coming and y'all made sure y'all wasn't there. That's what that was.
Nigga, you supposed to be working with your bride before that cheating. What happened to them days? You ain't take no days off before this?
Apparently not.
Yeah, so this man, y'all, but what can I say? Y'all still, people still going to that church.
Yes, they are.
People still going to that church. That's wild, man.
They don't get padlocked and all. They still gonna be there believing.
Like, I wonder what make people go to a mega church where the dude is just obviously on some bullshit.
We about to get evicted.
They about to have to start making cutbacks. Y'all ain't gonna get no Sunday supper no more.
Is it gonna go down to one service versus the five?
Oh no, they gonna have the five services, but it's gonna be mostly collections. Pass the plate one more time. Now this is our offering for the third time, because last time is a little light. I feel like there's more. Jesus is telling me there's more in your pockets, okay? you worried about the rent. Okay, but what about your spiritual space in heaven? That's the only rent you need to be paying, okay? They about to foreclose on your soul.
I worry about that when I get there. My bill is paid up there. Down here, I still owe.
The Housing Association of Heaven needs all they dues, okay? So pass on that plate. All right, now I know it's hard to focus when I'm coming at you live on Skype.
Right. I might be breaking up.
Is this thing on? Because I'm not seeing enough money. Maybe it's just my camera on my laptop.
We did pay the Wi-Fi bill.
But that's the one bill we did make this month. We got the super high speed internet and I'm not seeing enough money in these coffers. Okay, let's one more offering. Let's go around, play one more selection from the choir, and we're gonna do another offering on top of the last offering. Okay, then I'm gonna go ahead and do my sermon. And then we're gonna do the benediction offering, okay? Mm-hmm. We're gonna do that offering. we're gonna be taking offerings in Sunday school, okay? We're gonna take several of those. Some of y'all kids got lunch money. Why you ain't on reduced or free lunch, okay? The Lord will provide. Yes, He will. A peanut butter sandwich, even if you got peanut butter allergies, give somebody to lick the peanut butter off. You just eat the bread, okay? Eat the corners. All right, now let's go ahead pass that plate around one more time. Come on, man. That's so... But yet, you know, somebody out there like it. Somebody out there like, you know what? They gonna need my help this week. I'm gonna have to go ahead and cut my trip short.
TSP say the title of the sermon went, Devil Never Pay the Bills. I mean, Never Pay the Bills, the Devil Issues.
Mm-hmm.
No, we ain't gonna never pay the bills.
God expects you to do what the Lord wants you to do. Like those of you who realize that the Lord wants you to give generously into His church.
Amen.
Don't ask no questions. Don't ask how come why come the pastor have to have him a nice house? Why come a pastor got to have a nice car? Don't ask. I said don't ask. I said
don't ask.
No questions. Just give the money. Get the collection plate right on that side. Nigga, get it around on that side. We all now have a B selection from the choir.
I honestly would rather y'all give money to Tyler Perry than this. That's how bad this is. A man unhappy with his son's haircut shoots a barber, Texas police say.
Oh!
A detective said the shooting was one of the worst I've heard. The suspect may have fled in a four-door gray sedan.
He's really pissed about that haircut, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Police in Texas were searching Monday for a
from my understanding, you talk about dudes take their haircuts really seriously and they don't want you fucking it up.
Yeah, maybe he caught the barber cheating. He came in and was like, mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like, what the hell's going on? What the hell is going on beneath the clippers in my home?
Come on.
Wait a minute, let me explain. Anyway, police in Texas were searching.
Someone in that chair and I don't want to wait.
Oh man,
I know, but like, what the hell is going on?
Mm-hmm. Then you're gonna have it's gonna switch to Trapped in the Barbershop.
Come on, Trapped in the Barbershop.
Oh man, police in Texas were searching Monday for a man who they say shot a barber during a dispute over his 13-year-old son's haircut. Oh, his son's haircut. Okay. So it wasn't his haircut. His son got a fucked up haircut.
Oh, you fucked my baby's haircut.
Father of the year.
He didn't want to wait the 2 weeks for it to grow back.
The suspect may have fled the scene in a suburban.
Did the baby have to run too? Shit.
In a Honda Accord.
Oh, did leave the baby there? I mean, the baby wasn't prepared for daddy to get the capping. The baby just getting a haircut.
Yeah, they didn't say if he took his son. The incident began when the man, hey, you know, at least he was in his child's life, okay?
No, we're not gonna go there, no. But that's how low the fucking body is. Yeah, he shot somebody, but at least he was there.
The incident began when the man.
Fuck that, I'd rather you not be there, daddy, not be there.
This is began with the man complaining to the barber that his son's haircut was done improperly and then decided to go home. Harris County Sheriff's Office Detective Wallace Wise said. But the man later returned to the barbershop.
Oh, so he took the baby home.
After the fucked up haircut. Then he returned and he agreed. And he must have came with the kid because he said the barber agreed to fix the haircut for free.
Right. Okay. Then what's the problem?
Then an altercation ensued before 5 p.m. The employee was shot 3 times and was listed in stable condition.
What? After he agreed to recut the baby hair?
Yeah. Now everybody waiting to get their hair cut. That's a fucking crime scene. Now you're a witness.
Right. You done fucked everybody's haircut. I mean, you done fucked everybody's day up.
I'm the next man in the fucking chair. Now I'm a witness to a goddamn attempted murder.
I mean, it's bad enough I gotta hear Jimbo in the corner who won't never get a fucking haircut argue fucking LeBron James and Michael Jordan all goddamn day. Now I'm witness to gunshots.
What about the rest of his customers? Now they gotta find a new barber till he heal up.
Right.
If he ever cuts the same. Investigators have identified a man thought to be involved. The sheriff's department said in a statement, no charges have been filed. Okay. And officials asked the man to contact investigators to directly tell his version of what transpired. His version. It's one of the worst ones I heard, why I said it was shooting, especially with your son sitting there witnessing what you're doing. Damn. Man, what lesson that child is gonna cut their hair bald for the rest of their life.
Daddy, I do it myself. Fuck
I
don't, it.
I'm
never going to the barbershop again.
I'm perfectly good. Okay?
Somebody said barbershop. That baby gonna start screaming and run out the room.
And did he finish fixing the haircut and then they had a fight and then he got shot? Like, what would be the point of that?
Or did he fuck it up mid-fade? If he did, they defeated the point.
Yeah. I hope nobody was in the chair while he was about to get shot. Cause you know that person would be like, nah, I gotta be back to work at 1:30.
Something gonna happen.
You go ahead and finish cutting my hair and you just, I'm bleeding, call the cops. Okay, well, if I lay on the ground next to you, then you can like just line me up real quick, man.
Just a little bit. I got to go.
I already gave you my 15, man. I mean, come on. You want this tip or not?
Man, I gotta go on a date with my girl.
Mm-hmm. Or even worse, he cutting your hair while he about to get shot. And you just sitting there praying that this motherfucker cannot get shot before you finish your hair.
I know. Oh. Near, 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 near. What the fuck is this?
No, nigga, I said, look, motherfucker, look, hey, listen, I cut the boy hair now. What the fuck else you want from me? Oh, what you gonna do with that? Well, go ahead and shoot then, bitch. Go ahead and get something up. Hey, man, come on, man. Maybe if I'm just real quiet, he won't stop cutting my hair.
Right!
Because they always love to stop cutting your hair in the middle of the
talking and arguing and shit. You be like, look, you need to know how to multitask, nigga.
It's like, nah, nigga, fuck that cake. Fuck that shit. Hold up, man. Now, hold on. You ain't gonna disrespect me. I'm like, bruh, please.
I know.
I already don't want an angry man cutting my hair.
Come on.
Like, I already don't. Like, this is already a problem.
That's why you're like, fuck it. I just learned how to cut my own shit.
Damn. Tragic. At least nobody died, hopefully.
Hopefully, right.
You know, actually I went to the post office today and the post office lady was hyping me up. It was fun.
Oh shit, what happened?
Remember I told you about that post office lady that when I mailed off everybody's Christmas card?
Yes, she asked cards, about the show.
She was like, well, the blackout tips, and I gave her a card and all this stuff. So I went back a while ago to mail some stuff, but she wasn't there. And then I went in today and she was working. And she seen me come in, and I had my headphones in, and there was a lady in front of me that I thought was in line, but she was still like rapping whatever it was she was sending. And she was like, you can go. And I took my headphones out. She was like, you can go ahead and go, I'm not in line. I was like, oh, okay, my bad, I have my headphones in, my bad. And she was like, it's all right. And so I got in front of that lady, another black lady, and then the woman that works there, she was like, girl, you know who you talking to? That's the black man who tipped.
Yes, black man.
And you know me, I was just like, you know, hey, what's up? She was like, go on, tell her who she talking to now. And I was like, just you know, I just smiled and just kept it at that. You know, I was too embarrassed to say anything. Then the other one was like, well, he didn't, because I think that woman just talks to everybody in there.
Yes,
she is one of those people that you can
like
tell,
me, yes,
everybody knows her. Well, not even like you, like she really, at least from a few couple times I've been in there, she really seems like outgoing, and she has basically people that come in there frequently, she really like makes them feel welcomed. And
right,
like another dude came in and just had to drop a package off, and she was like, oh no, you ain't gonna speak on the way out or whatever. He's like, oh, this good seeing you, I'll be safe, you know. So she's one of those people,
right?
Which is so funny because the post office gets such a shitty rap, and everybody acts like it's the DMV, and everybody in there hates life. And
right.
And at least for this lady in this post office, which is, I think, is now the only post office I'm going to, because mm-hmm. It was so fun in there. But
yes,
she's the complete opposite of that, you know. And just makes it, you know,
it a pleasant experience.
Yeah, and to be frank, most of the time when I go to the post office, it's at least cordial. And in most cases, like, good. Mm-hmm. And in this case, it's extremely, like, this is extreme good.
Yeah, so. It just sound like this is what she does. So she probably have a regular people that mail shit off all the time, right?
But yeah, and so after she was like, you know, it's the black man who tip or whatever. Tell her who you are or whatever. I was like, you know, just smiling, shaking my head. And then, the woman that had let me go in front of her in line was like, well, he didn't tell me all that. She was like, but I know his beer game tight.
And hey.
I said, in my head, I was like, gas me up, sis. I'll buy 1,000 stamps, please. Let me get $1,000 worth of stamps right now. Keep the post office in business
right around here. Don't want y'all to die.
It was, but yeah, that was funny. Just a little anecdote. Then I went to Office Depot. And I was buying another calendar,
mm-hmm.
and I bought Uno cards, because I realized the other day we don't have no Uno cards in this house.
What?
And if we do, they might be in that truck in there. But
I'm not digging in there.
A black house and no Uno cards is not black mm-hmm. at all.
Uno cards and red deck and the blue deck are Regnoma cards.
And so I was doing that, and I was trying to buy another office chair.
Okay.
Because the one I have in there, it works, but it and it's very comfortable and stuff, but sometimes the thing on the bottom, it like loses air, and then you have to pump it back up.
Okay.
Or whatever. So I went to go buy a new one, right? The Office Depot, Office Max is the ghetto. I'm sorry.
The ghetto.
It is.
We might have to go somewhere else.
The ghetto. I went, searched, no customer service.
Oh no, oh no.
Like two people in the whole store, maybe three.
You're gonna be wandering around forever.
I picked out, like, there's chairs, and on the side of the chairs, they have like a little number thing, like you take the card, almost like Toys R Us,
mm-hmm.
and you take it up to the front, and you know, that's where you buy it, and you can be like, okay, I also want y'all to put it together,
yes,
that's
sir.
An extra fee, all that stuff.
Yes.
And normally you have to come back in a day or two to get it. I'll go up there with the intention of doing that. This motherfucking Office Depot, like Office Max. First of all, I had to sign up for the rewards card.
Why?
Right.
Bitch, I just wanted to buy the chair.
There was a line up there, and I was like fourth or fifth in line, right? And clearly more than one person can handle it. So this woman came over, and she started doing one of the registers. And it got to the point where I was like the second or last. I was the second. There were two more people in line. It was me and a woman after me. Man, that woman that was working there in the extra register to help clear out the line smiled at me and everything, and then as soon as it was my turn, walked off and did something else. I was like, okay. So then the brother that was there, he took care of me after he got done, and he was like, scanned the card for the chair. He was like, okay, according to this, we got one more in stock. And he said, let me go check. And he asked the one behind me, you mind if I go check? And she was like, I guess, I mean, what the fuck choice I got? He was like, sorry, we're a little understaffed. I guess he had to literally go in the back and look.
Mm-hmm.
Comes back 5 minutes later. Yeah, man, it say we got one in stock, but I couldn't find one, so it could be the display chair. Or I said, well, can you sell me the display chair?
Right.
Well, I don't know if we're going to get any more in stock. I'm like, well, nigga, that's not my fault.
Yes.
And y'all had like 12 pieces of paper in the side of this chair that said y'all had them.
Come on.
So what the fuck? Why wasn't there only one in there or none? And so I'm not even joking. It's like he did a Jedi mind trick on me, because he was like, yeah, well, the closest one we got is at East Independence, which, nigga, I'm not going to East Independence.
The fuck I'm riding over there on the other side of town, folks.
Yeah, at 5, and then I got to go pick it up there, too. Are you serious? He's like, the closest one we got is at East Independence. That's similar. He didn't even say the same chair or same price. That's similar. And it was a good price. And so I was like, he was like, but I can ring up the Uno cards and the calendar. And I said, okay, go ahead and ring it up. And then he was like, yeah. And I said, so what about the chair? He was like, yeah, we don't have it. I said, well, do y'all have any of the chairs? I mean, we got some back there. I'm like, well, nigga, like, the fuck is happening with this transaction right now? I was like, so I guess I gotta come back for the chair. He was like, yeah, man, you know, just come back and look through them. I'm like, nigga, that's the fucking point. He Jedi mind tricked me. I was in my car like, what happened? It's like he just said, these are not the chairs you're looking for. And I was like, these are not the chairs I'm looking for.
I'm not looking for those chairs.
You just want a calendar and some Uno cards. I just wanted a calendar and some Uno cards.
And that's what you purchased and walked out and was like, hey, I think I've been tricked.
I went from the immediate high of the black man who tips in here to, these are not the chairs you're looking for. I was like, damn. Nigga, fuck my whole day up.
Oh, we have to find somewhere else then.
Yeah, I'll figure something out on the chair front. But that nigga was, I'm like, man.
And we bought chairs there before with no problem.
And I know what it was. He didn't want to walk his black ass back there again.
Right.
Cause my whole thing was like, well then nigga, listen, I am next in line. I waited all my time to get my black ass up here.
Everybody's behind me gonna have to goddamn wait since your friend over there act like she don't fucking want to help you. That's not my problem either.
And the other thing was that the woman behind me was a black woman, and when he left, like, she had, like, this is such a weird thing too. I was checking out and she goes, how much you get was that calendar? And I was like, the day calendar is like, I don't know, like $15 maybe. Psh, oh. And like, he was standing there when she did this. She's like, oh, psh, I'ma go to the dollar store. And
I'ma go to the dollar store!
I said, okay, cool. I won't be paying no $15. Okay, damn. Like, I get it, sis. I speak this. I know what you're saying.
Better you than me. Too much money.
Yeah, better you than me. I
guess we mix screws, make duck, flossy floss over there.
I almost flexed on her like, well, that's why I'm writing it off with my business account. But I was just like, I can't flex on a $15 calendar. I need this specific calendar. This is a close place. Try to support these local businesses and shit. Goddamn. Just
right. You be like, do I need to take my black ass online?
Right. And then when he asked her, he go look back at the chair, asked her. I'm like, nigga, what the fuck? What did she say? No. Nah, I can't even look for you, player. Good luck.
I mean, y'all don't got no phone. Ain't nobody ass back there. But you can be like, hey, Bob, is there the fucking chair back there? Here's the code. Can you see it?
It was a goddamn ghetto. It was honestly. I felt like that whole ordeal was written by Tyler Perry. That's what it felt like. I said, Tyler Perry wrote this in one day. And I just went and got in the car.
Was the dude light skinned? I mean, you dark skinned it.
No, he was the same skin tone as me. Went to Livingstone. Graduated 2014.
Dog, how you get all this information?
Because people fucking talk to me when I have my headphones in. Because they just don't give a fuck. I got one of them faces, apparently. Everybody, like, here's my life story.
Now, I could see if I knew that information, because you know people tell me that shit.
I didn't ask.
I'd be like, yeah, they got three kids, they mopped that, you know.
I didn't ask for shit. He said something about my Fayetteville State hat, then he went to Livingstone, then he graduated 2014, won't know when I graduated, and then he said, I didn't get the chair, is the point. I didn't get the fucking chair that I came there for.
Do we need to go to Amazon today and pay for them to assemble the shit?
Baby, he said, well, you know you can go on Office Max online. I said, are they going to put the chair together? He was like, yeah, you can get it put together and everything. I said, okay, well, but like, why you can't just do that here? Why we can't just, I'm at the place. This is why the fuck place be going out of business.
Don't you want my fucking money?
That's why Amazon keep winning.
Right, because I'm going to pay Amazon. Amazon gonna come here, knock on the door, put the shit together, and leave.
Jesus Christ. Anyway. I forgot what I was going to do. Was it the...
After you've been Jedi mind tricked?
Yeah, it had nothing to do with nothing. I don't even know how I got on that. Alright, let's move in there. 140. We can go ahead and do guest race, I guess. I guess we really shouldn't know. We really should talk about.
Okay.
You know, maybe we'll talk about Trump with Ray. She's very politically open and minded. So maybe if she can make it tomorrow, we'll do the Trump stuff.
Okay.
We can just do guest the race today.
Now that it's time for some guest the race. That's right, it's guest the race time. Now that it's time for some guest the race. That's right, it's guest the race time.
That's right, it's time for guest the race. the number one game show going across all the podcasts, and we read and play news articles from all over the globe. And we ask our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race. And of course, everyone playing is a Stone Cold Racist. All right, let's get into Guess the Race, guys. Today's Guess the Race brought to you by Office Max. No, we ain't got it.
We ain't got it, my nigga. No, it's not in stock.
Burger King employee arrested for pulling a gun on a customer over an incorrect order.
Oh, shit.
Turnabout is fair play, I say. Burger King worker started her 2020 behind bars after getting arrested for allegedly pulling a gun on a customer who complained about her drive-thru order in Tennessee.
Guess you won't be getting it your way.
I guess you won't. It definitely wasn't one of them Impossible Burgers. Mm-mm. Because they had some beef.
You ain't got to worry about the king, bitch, I'm the queen.
The Burger Queen?
Yes.
Mm-mm-mm. She came to Burger King and found herself in a pickle. She was like, ain't nobody gonna believe this. They gonna think I'm telling a whopper. She did, so yeah, she, according to the police, Odario Moore Williams, 38.
Oh, okay.
Began cursing and yelling at the customer after she entered the restaurant to inquire about her food order being wrong. A witness told police Moore Williams then took out a gun and pointed at the customer. You do not see it that way often.
They getting tired of y'all coming in and acting like a motherfucking fool for real and posting shit on Twitter and poking fun at them. I bet somebody say, I wish a motherfucker would. The joke's on you. Ha ha, bitch. Put that on Twitter. They tired of that.
I seen the Popeyes videos.
Right.
You want the smoke, bruv?
No, act like you got some goddamn sense.
Mm-hmm. That's funny because you know when people fast food order messed up, they get that righteous indignation and they think they could just go in there and tell them minimum wage slaves anything they want. But they pull out that money, that gun.
Hey, girl, I just wanted to let you girls know that I'm a real messy bitch. I'm a messy bitch who lives for drama.
Mm-hmm. Don't think other fast food workers didn't see how y'all treated them Popeye employees and joked and laughed, right, and picked at them. They was like, the fuck you ain't gonna do that to me. Try me, bitch, today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm finna kill you. I'm finna drill you. And now you bleeding. They play it. They play it. When I shoot you in your neck, the noise gon' play it.
Mm-hmm. They be like, here's some hot bullet with these hot ass fries. Try me, bitch.
Hey. Can I ask you a question?
No.
No. No.
Oh, man. So, she then was reportedly seen putting the gun in a bag and handing it to an unidentified person in the parking lot of a restaurant. And she came with some dude dirt. Motherfuckers like, you need me to go ahead and get rid of the evidence?
They weren't even in uniform. They were already ready.
Shortly after Moore Williams was taken into custody, charged with aggravated assault, Burger King spokesman said in a statement, "We take the safety and security of everyone in our restaurants very seriously."
We know you don't. No, you ain't got to lie. You ain't got to lie.
This behavior does not reflect our expectations for Burger King restaurants.
You ain't got to lie. You ain't got to lie. Because if that woman would have crossed the counter and whipped her ass, you would have expected her to stand there and do nothing. But yet you had somebody that was like, "Oh, you want to act a fool, bitch? Here's a blend in the background."
But you know what, though? I think they are telling the truth. They don't expect this type of behavior from their employees. Like, no, we expect you to get your ass whooped now.
Right. Well, we do nothing, and we don't protect you, and we don't stand up for you because the customer's always right.
Mm-hmm. I guess you're going to have these hands your way. but, yeah, so we'll guess the race, Karen, of this Burger King employee.
Oh, black.
Okay. All right. She was terminated for the job, by the way, in case y'all needed that.
I know she was.
Okay.
I was like, we can't have you doing this, ma'am.
I know.
Ooh! Ah, the ghetto!
Let's see what the chat room believes. The ghetto, a Negro, black and not so mild, flame broil, black smoke, bruv. It was... It was a Burger King, not King, black, Burger King, not King. Since you know so damn much, you can kitchen and make it black. Hey, this is what happens when you don't have McDonald's money.
Come on.
You gotta go to Burger King. This is a third strike black. Black is the butt of the gun. Tyler Perry wrote this character. You.
Now come on, Rich, around this counter and see what I'm gonna do to you. That's not
good. Medea works at Burger King.
Come over here and get the capping, bitch.
How do y'all not love this ignorant ass shit? So good. Stop having them expectations, y'all. Y'all right. Okay.
Lower them.
Blacker than a Charboro Whopper, black. She had a pot of hot grits waiting on the grill, black. Yep. Everybody went black, and well, everyone, you got it correct. Hopefully my screen won't freeze this time. It's been happening the last couple days. But I just put a picture up. It might take a second to populate on the screen. Let's give it a little bit. I think it's working.
It is. It's just slow, but slow.
Okay. That's her.
Wait, did it pop up? Yep, there you go. It's just
slow. Yeah, she does not look too worried about that shit at all. She like, I said, one more bitch come up in this this Burger King. They catching some hot slugs.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. That she was fed up with y'all.
1 million hands served. Okay.
Come on.
All right, let's go to the next one, guys. Keeping in the same genre of fast food. A Florida woman was arrested for threatening to get McDonald's sauce by any means necessary.
Was it a hot mustard?
Listen, okay, now I'm on front with that hot mustard.
They the only place that sells it too, and it is the fucking best.
A Florida woman was arrested for threatening to rob a McDonald's because they did not serve dipping sauce along with her food. McGuire Marie McLaughlin, 19,
okay,
was denied the condiment at a McDonald's in Vero Beach, Florida last week and pledged to obtain the dipping sauce by whatever means necessary, according to a police report. You know what's funny is I do hate when them motherfuckers get stingy like they are Mr. McDonald.
The fuck is this?
I don't know why.
I know I didn't order nuggets. I don't give a fuck. Drop the sauce in there.
It's the one time that I really do be like, for real, you just going, wow.
You know they sell it in a fucking 24 pack.
And I don't ever, you know, I never get disrespectful. I never raise my voice.
Right,
I never get belligerent.
It's annoying.
But I absolutely will make them use my card for that 35 cent. I absolutely will.
I will annoy the fuck out of him. It's 25 cent. Here you go.
Be like, y'all run this card because I know it costs you more than it's going to cost me. Go ahead and run it.
Yep. Because now you got to incur that fee. It's a dollar.
Right. Now, since you want to be the fucking employee of the month, this motherfucker.
And then they get annoyed. They be like, some of them are like, fuck it. Right.
Yep. They'll give it to
you. Right. Because I want, you going to make it inconvenient because most people say, no, I want the bitch. Here you go.
And sometimes I legitimately feel bad because I'm not one of them people that, like, I'll say I want the sauce.
Right.
I'm not one of those people that do the, like, now that I'm at the drive through window, give me the sauce. But occasionally I do forget and I'm like, fuck, I want that hot mustard. Hey man, let me get a hot mustard. Oh, they react. I'll be like, come on, bro, please. It's not even that big a deal. Well, technically, it's always like some manager. Technically, we have to charge. Okay, well, cool, bro. Run my card, whatever you need to do.
They surprised when you pay. A lot of times, right. Like, fuck it, I'll pay if you're going to make a big ass ordeal about
Sometimes
it.
Sometimes I pull the change out ahead of time, like, hey, just, what is it, 35 cents? Just take it. Let's go. But yeah, anyway. The fracas allegedly took place about 4 a.m. on New Year's Day, when police arrived to witness.
Shit, the New Year just started cranking.
New Year, new sauce. McLaughlin was yelling profanities at the drive-thru because she claimed she did not receive all of her food. The employee advised McLaughlin that dipping sauce costs 25 cents. McLaughlin further stated that she would be getting the sauce by whatever means necessary, however, could not specify what she meant by that. McDonald's employees said they feared for their safety. You didn't fear for your safety. You know how I know you didn't fear for your safety? Because you didn't give her 25 cents worth of sauce. You know, right. If someone truly made you feel threatened for your safety, and the difference between them fucking you up and you going home unscathed was a 25 cent dipping sauce, you just give them the sauce. You give them 100 fucking sauces. Okay? I'm not dying over sauce, over 25 cent.
Right.
McLaughlin was taken into custody for disorderly conduct. She needed to be placed in the mechanical restraints by arresting officers because she kept locking her legs, refusing to walk forward. They also said she smelled of alcohol. What? Now that's the shocking part. Right. She was released later that day after posting bond because she had more than enough money for bond and more than 25 cent for sauce, I'm imagining. Can I guess the race of McGuire Marie McLaughlin?
Black.
Okay, let's check the chat room, see what they believe. Dipping sauce, mayonnaise white. The only seasoning white people know is sauces. Saucy sauce Susan white. Saucy sauce Susan. Dry dripping sauce and popping black. Black. Skank Scottish white woman drinking off scotch. She needed to pull a gun to get them condiments white. Shit, the employees got guns too now. Be a whole motherfucking shootout. No mention of her being tased white. A hot-headed McNigger.
Oh no.
You got that McNuggets living white. Let me speak to your manager and the owner didn't get killed and had bond money white. White girl wasted hot sauce to go white and white. Everybody, most people guess white on this. Karen and a few other people did guess black. And Karen,
mm-hmm.
You and those few other people, you got it wrong.
Oh. Oh, damn.
So the guy, people who guess white, all of y'all got it right. I thought she had a very white sounding name. So, what was it like? Something McGuire Marie McLaughlin sounds like three different whites.
Not three just different ones meshed into one.
White on white on white. Like, I'm surprised. As Matthew McConaughey would say, all white, all white, all white. All right, let's go to the bonus round.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right, double the points, double the race, and the bonus round against the race. So far, Karen is one and one. But let's see if Karen can get the last one right.
I'm gonna try.
All right. A bank customer made a large withdrawal. Then the teller of the at the bank went to their home to rob them.
What?
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Nathan Michael Newell, 19, forced his way into a customer's home and assaulted a 78-year-old man who answered the door. A Maryland bank customer made a large withdrawal, then the teller from the bank came to their home and forced his way inside and attempted robbery. Nathan Michael Newell, 19, of Bel Air, about 27 miles northeast of Baltimore, was arrested at his home on Wednesday and faces charges of home invasion, robbery, burglary, and assault. November 11th, around 8:30 p.m., Newell rang the doorbell at a home in Bel Air and immediately began assaulting a 78-year-old man who answered the door. A woman, 57, who was in the home, intervened, authorities said in a press release posted on Facebook. At that time, the suspect ran upstairs and the second resident ran to a nearby home to call 911. Newell fled the home before officers arrived, but that was taken into custody days later. The woman was treated at the home for injuries and the man was hospitalized for what authorities believe are non-life-threatening injuries. The Baltimore Sun reports that the man suffered heart issues after the attack and a broken leg and bruises near his eye. Investigators learned that one of the residents had removed a large amount of money from the bank where Newell worked. According to the Baltimore Sun, citing court documents, Newell said he tried to rob the customer for the money because he was tired of working two jobs and wanted to get his own place. The outlet says he worked at Freedom Federal Credit Union and was fired following the incident.
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, he just a socialist.
It don't work like
that's the way it works on Twitter, Karen. We're gonna kill all the rich people, take their money, and then we're gonna have the money.
It don't work like that.
Power to the people. We are shocked and appalled to hear the events that led to the assault and injury of a longtime member of the credit union. Our thoughts go out to him and his family during this difficult time, said Michael McPherson, the credit union's president and CEO. Newell's being held in without bail in jail. He does not list an attorney for him.
What's his name again?
His name is Nathan Michael Newell.
Nathan Michael Newell. I'm gonna go black.
Karen's going black. Let's check the chat room. Nathan Michael Newell.
White. Karen's going like white. Three okay. White names. Nathan Michael. Yeah, that's white.
Okay, Karen's going white. Let's check the chat room. Fresh White Prince of Bel-Air, black, hood rat black, this nigga lost his first good job black. Well, you got your own place now, a jail cell black. I guarantee you he's splitting that. Now, this is a story all about how I tried to flip this old white man for his money black. The fresh nigga of Bel-Air. Wells Fargo white, bank to prison pipeline black. He the only bank in America that's been locked up. White, they don't hire 19-year-old niggas at banks. Deductive reasoning over there. Living in his mama basement white, Nathan got Nathan black. Nathan Michael is a Caucasian. The correct answer is, and they were all great guesses. Karen went with white. Many of you went with black. And Karen got it correct.
All three of them sound like first names. I was like, that's white.
That's a good point. Many of you missed it. Kind of look like white boy Rick to me. You want me to do you dead? Can I rob some people? Oh, wait. It didn't even
come
post.
Come on, dead.
Hold on, let me see if I can get it on screen. I'm
never
sorry.
Seen that movie, but I fucking always wish they got played the hell out of that clip.
Yeah, around some people dead. We'll be like, yee.
Come on, what do it for me, dead?
Oh, man. Let me see if it'll come up this time. He looked almost asleep. He probably on some drugs. Or maybe they came and got him in the middle of the day or something. He just looked
yeah,
like.
Yeah, robbed that dude for all that money, didn't get shot.
Like you need a nap. Beating up old people must take a lot of energy out of you.
Oh, okay. All right.
Like Post Malone.
Without tattoos on the face.
Yeah. Mm-mm-mm. Coming to your house with the bullshit. All right, sword ratchet this time, guys. Let's see what we got here. I'm sorry, waiting on it to load. A man cut another man with a samurai sword in a fight. Maine police say a man drew a samurai sword on another man during a fight, cut the victim's arm. Police say they were called to a high school parking. Oh wait, we did this one.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember that high school parking lot shit because I was like, the fuck, kind of. Fighting the greasers, like what the fuck kind of outsider's ass fight is this? A woman hits a man with a toy sword during domestic dispute. There's no such thing as a toy sword. Maria Shaw of Milford was arrested on Sunday, December 22nd, after Milford police responded to a domestic violence call in Cindy Circle. Shaw allegedly struck a man with a toy sword during an argument while he was holding a child. Shaw was charged with disorderly conduct and released on a promise to appear ticket. She clearly must be white. Cause I mean, come on y'all. The child, they would try to get you on child endangerment or something. All right, y'all, that's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. I hope you guys enjoyed this one.
Me too.
A lot less emotion this time. You know what? No, happiness and fun is an emotion too. So
it is.
Hopefully you guys enjoyed this one, a little bit lighter fare. We'll be back tomorrow if everything goes right, knock on wood. We should be recording tomorrow night with Raisani. If not, we'll still find something to do. It'll mm-hmm. be okay. We'll get you guys something, but you know, our goal is to have Raisani on. So all right, y'all, we'll talk to y'all soon. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.